Hello and good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's good to have you with us here this morning for the Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. It is Tuesday, April 30th, 2024, and our catechesis today, we'll pick up where we left off yesterday after Saul was commanded to utterly destroy the Amalekites, and yet he was not faithful to the command of the Lord. And it seems to be the last straw as far as the Lord's patience with him. All right? So his mercies are new every morning, but his patience does come to an end, finally, in the last day. And so as I asked the children, what day is a good day to repent? And they said, one of them rightly said, today. And that was exactly right. All right. Let's see. It's Tuesday. So no other additional notes for the day. So let's just begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray our psalm for the week, Psalm 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals. With the smoke of the sacrifice of rams, I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. So there's an interesting dynamic going on here, and I think it's one that we as Christians struggle with, and it's worth highlighting here. We'll see this actually play out in our reading for catechesis today as well, in that we live a sort of double life, is that we have a life of faith toward God, especially we who've been regenerated, washed clean, and made new in the waters of baptism, and then also the life that we're given to live in the flesh that is not necessarily according to sin, although that is true as well. The flesh is referred to as that which has been corrupted by sin, but in this world, you might say. So we live this double life. We're in this world, but as Jesus says, be in the world, but not of the world. Well, now what does that mean, to not be of the world? And here you see that the ways of the world are used to demonstrate God's authority over it. So passing through the sea on dry land or through the river on foot, right? Or the nations being overrun. But you also see that the way that we put our fear, love, and trust in this world and in this bodily existence, this life, well, life in the body, not the resurrected body in the last day, that is a corrupted existence in this world, that God runs us over. It's really kind of incredible there, right? With a crushing burden, bringing us into the net, men riding over our heads, being brought through fire and through water, right? So often Christians have described the life of this world as being one in exile, or to use Egypt or Babylon for that, or as a pilgrimage, so like an exodus going through the Sinai desert. So, and that's certainly our experience. And the Lord does this to us so that we do not put our fear, love, and trust in the things that he gives us, the earthly blessings that he gives us, be it body, life, property, wealth, children, a heritage, congregations, these sorts of things, which are all blessings from the Lord, but that we turn our hearts not to the things that we do or the things we've received, but rather to his word and returning to him with his word in prayer, all right? And we're going to see this play out with Saul as well. We get really caught up in things that the Lord either gives or the Lord takes away. That's used by Job to describe life, life in general, but also just the TikTok and breathing of life. But I think it does apply to everything in this life that sees moth and rust and decay. And so we're perennially concerned about things that could be gone here today and gone tomorrow, and not concerned about the things that ultimately matter: repentance, forgiveness of sins, faith, life in Jesus. Right, ultimately his word. So I think the attitude that we ought to take is be attentive to the things of this world, but do not be consumed by them, but rather consume them, right, as the Lord gives, and but use the things of this world for the benefit of hearing his word. Okay, yeah, it is a daily struggle. I mean, you can't help but get caught up in this world, and I know I certainly am. I've spent, well, since COVID, I tried to avoid this before, but I've really been caught up in it as of late, just trying to just kind of decipher what's going on. And so that necessarily requires attention to things like politics and economics and other kinds of like earthly mechanical kind of operations. And that's helpful for to anticipate some of the moves as best you can to prepare. But everything we need to know, we actually already know from God's word. We know about the plans and intents of man's heart. We know about the mechanics of this world. We know about the tyrannical use of wealth and of health and of life, you know, to use that not for the benefit of the church and for faith, but rather to bring oppression and whatnot. So in any case, just a personal struggle too, I suppose, as well, is how can we talk about these things but not dwell on them, all right? And rather confess them rightly for what they are, a crushing burden or being tested by God, right? But thanks be to God that he hasn't rejected our prayer or removed his love from us. And that's why you're here, to hear his word. Right? Speaking of having no other word that ultimately matters, here we go from Jesus, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14, verse 6. Table of duties to wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Ephesians 5, verse 22. This is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. 1 Peter 3, verses 5 through 6. There's that word, well, a couple words that we really don't like, right? Submit or submissive, and then obey, and doing what is right and not being fearful. All of that seems quite counter our nature, doesn't it? And the only way this is going to come is through the new life given in holy baptism, right? Through the regeneration of God working through his word and by the Spirit. Speaking of, here we go from 1 John. And now, little children, abide in him, and when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not know sin, or does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. And he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Okay. So one might ask, well, how is it that one can practice righteousness and be righteous as Jesus if yet, as you know, Paul clearly teaches, we remain yet sinners according to the flesh? Well, it's through the forgiveness of sins. The righteousness of Christ is the forgiveness of sins in his name, right? And if one is forgiven, then one and has been born of God through baptism, then of course he doesn't sin because his sin is forgiven, right? And all our works are filthy rags apart from the forgiveness of sins. So this righteousness that is born of him is the word of forgiveness in which we put our fear, love, and trust. Jesus forgiving us our sins. Okay. And then our reading for catechesis from 1 Samuel. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he has set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, Well, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet. I will tell you what the Lord has said to me last night. And he said to him, Speak on. So Samuel said, When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go, utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I had gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe and it tore. So Samuel said to him, The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent. And then he said to him, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel turned back after Saul. Saul worshiped the Lord. And then Samuel said, Bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me. So Agag came to him cautiously. And Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. But Samuel said, As your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to the house of Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Okay, pretty intense, huh? Very sour, I suppose, or negative. All right, but of course, it's Saul's own doing. Why is the Lord grieved? Because Saul turned away from him and from performing the Lord's commands, right? As we saw yesterday with the whole Amalekite incident. Samuel's response, of course, is grieving. He cries out all night, right? And we find out that Saul had gone to Carmel and set up a monument in his own honor, which is, of course, more evidence that Saul does not believe that the Lord gave him victory, but rather it was his own victory now. Which is kind of the opposite of what we saw with the Philistines, right? Where with the Philistines, Saul took just a few thousand, 3,000 against, sent 1,000 by way of Jonathan, right? But now against the Amalekites, he takes 200,000, 210,000, right? And now he claims the victory as being his own, right? and setting up a monument to himself. By the way, if you want to see idolatrous monuments like those of Saul, just go to Washington, D.C. Look at the Lincoln Memorial in particular and the seat that he's sitting on. Go look at the iconography of it or that, frankly, of the Washington Monument or some of the others. And you'll find what national idolatry looks like. Okay? And so Saul does that, right? A monument to his own honor, not claiming the victory is coming from God, but claiming it as his own. Or maybe his and God's, just we'll be fair. And that's what you see when Saul says to Samuel, "Blessed are you of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." You see, I followed the instructions, more or less, right? But then Samuel accuses Saul. He does it in a very interesting way. Verse 14, "What is this this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? The cattle are lowing." No, that's a different thing. This is an accusation, actually. Of course, we're talking about the sheep and the oxen they brought back, which should have been destroyed. But I think it's something deeper than that. If you go back, I can't do it on the screen for you there, but if we go back to 1 Samuel 15, verse 1, "The Lord has sent me to anoint you king over this over his people Israel," over his people Israel, right? "Therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord." So, as shepherd of Israel, Saul, king, he is to listen to the shepherd, that is the word of the Lord. Instead, he's been listening to the bleating of the sheep. All right. Excuses. This is how when the Lord brings you to account, this is how it always goes. There's a list of excuses, right? Why you haven't done what the Lord has commanded you to do. And here, the first person he makes an excuse about is, the soldiers, right? The people spared the best of the sheep. But they did it to have them sacrificed, right? To sacrifice the Lord your God. Nice cover story. But Samuel says, verse 16, no, let me tell you what the Lord has to say. Be quiet, right? Why should Saul have listened to the words of Samuel? The basis of that is verse 17. It was the Lord who set you, anoint you over the king, over Israel. So the Lord is the one that you listen to. So if the Lord gives you authority, then you have to do what the Lord says to exercise the authority faithfully, right? This is true for pastor, this is true for husband, for wife, right? If the Lord has made you a wife, then you submit to your husband as to the Lord because it's the Lord's word, you see, the one who gave you your husband. Or the same thing with husbands. Love your wives and do not anger them, right? Why? Because the Lord gave you your wife and this is the Lord's instruction for you. All right, so we have the same thing here with the king. Do what the Lord says because he made you king. Easy enough. Did Saul confess his sin? No, actually, verse 20, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. I did what the Lord said. It was the people who didn't follow your word. Well, of course, now he's deferring responsibility. He's had authority over the people, and yet now he's saying, well, I don't really, right? What did Samuel say the Lord really wanted Saul to do? What does it say here? It's to obey. I mean, he uses the word obey twice here, verse 22, and then heed. No, he doesn't heed. Rebellion, stubbornness, rejected. This is all describing Saul, right? And it's rebellion is like witchcraft. Stubbornness is like iniquity and idolatry. Isn't that something? Is that overstating it? Not really. What was I thinking of? Oh, yeah, this might be a little bit controversial, but there is a direct link between modern day psychiatry and psychology, although those are two different things. And mediums and psychics in days of old, is that sometimes, hopefully not amongst Christian psychologists, but some psychologists, it's about saying the right words. It's about saying the magic words, if you like. It's a kind of sorcery. It's like putting you into a different frame of mind, right? Now you could say, well, can God use that for good purposes? I think maybe, right? But some people put their fear, love, and trust in their therapist, you see, and not into God and his word. And so then that's a false word, and it ends up being a kind of witchcraft in a way. I'm not saying that psychology can't be helpful to understand oneself, but we want to understand ourselves according to God's word, right? A psychologist will often tell you that you need to trust yourself, and you need to trust your gut, and you need to come to accept who you are, and all these sorts of things. And then Jesus comes along and says, actually, trust me, trust what I say, and don't be who you are, but be who I declare you to be in your baptism, you see? So it's quite different, all right? So it's not too much to say rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, I think, but I leave that to you. But the key here is to obey. By the way, you cannot obey unless you first hear, right? So obedience and hearing and keeping God's word, those are keeping. I prefer to keep God's word rather than obey, although here that's the appropriate term. Why? Because keep, I think, includes both hearing and doing, right? This is ultimately what the Epistle of James asserts. I was talking to a friend this morning about this very topic, is that the Epistle of James should not be controversial for us as Christians, because it describes the life of the Christian as one who hears God's word and then does it, right? Or as St. Mary said, right? Do whatever he tells you. Well, of course, if you fear, love, and trust Jesus, you are going to do what he says. Well, now we see what the problem is here. Saul does not, right? He does not hear. The word for obey in verse 22 is rooted in the word hear. And this is important. Think Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? Well, now he has heard, and he knows there's real consequence for his sin. That is, he's rejected as king by the Lord. So he says, I have sinned. This is real confession here. And he even asks for forgiveness, right? So confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins. And second, that we receive absolution, right? So he confesses his sin. He pleads for absolution. But Samuel doesn't initially give it to him, which is kind of curious. He reminds him, you have rejected the word of the Lord, and thus the Lord has rejected you, right? That consequence is going to stick to you because of your sin. But notice the persistence. This is much like the Syrophoenician woman or the Canaanite woman who holds on to Jesus for dear life, or the woman who grabs, oh, there's a good connection, the woman who grabs the hem of Jesus' garment, right? Because she's desperate for healing from Jesus. So also Saul here grabs Samuel's cloak, his robe, but it tears, right? And now we're learning something else. Samuel turns and says, the Lord has torn the kingdom from you this day, right? So this is a sign to you. A sign doesn't mean anything until the word of God's attached. Well, here Samuel tells him exactly what this sign means under the Lord's authority, right? The strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, right? There's no way. I think he's telling us that the repentance, the first repentance of Saul, it is the right words, and yet it's not quite in faith, because perhaps he thinks the kingdom's going to be restored to him, all right? But no, the kingdom will not be restored. He will not lie or relent. He's not a man. When God says, it is done, right? He doesn't change his mind. And yet Saul says, I have sinned, and now he doesn't deny that the kingdom can be returned to him, but rather he pleads that they save face almost, right? That Samuel come with him so that the elders, sees his repentance, I suppose. All right. Now Samuel's going to follow through on what Saul did not, showing that God's word is true, right? And so he has Agag, the king of the Amalekites, brought to him, who pleads, but his time of judgment has already come. He was spared that judgment just for a time, but the judgment is there, right? And Samuel's the one who kills him a little brutally, right? Hacked Agag into pieces. So then we have this final point in verse 35. Samuel mourns for Saul, but they never talk again. This is terrible for Saul, right? This means that the word of the Lord has withdrawn from him. And that leaves you with your sins without absolution. Although David, we'll find, does sing to try to soothe his soul later on. So Saul had listened to his own words and the voice of the people rather than the words of the Lord, as he had turned from the Lord at Gilgal by offering sacrifices contrary to the Lord's command, as we heard on Friday. So Saul once again submitted himself to the yoke of slavery to sin. Oh, I just had to do it. Rather than hearing the voice of the Lord, Saul succumbed to the bleating voices of the sheep of Israel. By giving them what they desired, Saul did not care for the flock of Israel that had been entrusted to his care. The Lord does not delight in our own sacrifices, even if they are performed in his name, but rejoices rather when we hear and believe the word of salvation that has been accomplished for us by the work of his own Son, the Lamb of God. It is this Lamb alone whose voice bleats from the cross to call us to repentance and everlasting life. All right, speaking of the Lamb, let's sing, let's sing stanza 5 and 6, if you would. We pray, O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord Jesus, by your word and spirit, fashion all Christian women into wives made in the image of your bride, the Church. Teach them to submit to their husbands as to you, their Lord and Savior. Give them hearts that trust in your word, honor their husbands, and look to them for love and spiritual headship. Deliver them from all fear and faithlessness. Where their husbands fail them, support them with your grace, and let them find their sufficiency in you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. We pray this day for deliverance against temptation and evil, for the addicted and despairing, for the tortured and oppressed, and for those struggling with sin. Let's see. We pray this day for the households of our church, especially that of Jennifer, Catherine, Doug, and Teresa, Michael, Jack, and Patty, and Renee. Pray for all our catechumens, especially those in adult catechesis, Michaela, Justin, Eric, and Carrie. Pray for those ill receiving treatment or recovering, especially Ralph, Allison, Maria, Joe, Angie, Dennis, Daniel, Brad and Billy Joe, Harriet, Ron, Carol, and Mike, Doug, Ruth, Renata, Joan, Sandy, BJ, Karen, present Willie, and Phil. Pray for our homebound, Dan, Lenore, Joan, Paul, Dolores, and Pauline. Pray for the missions and mercy work of the church, especially that of Lutheran Heritage Foundation. We also pray for those who received their first calls last week from either Concordia Seminary St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. That's our congregation of prayer for today, Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. It's good to have you all with us. Had a good crowd here for us today. I hope it's been a blessing to you. We need to understand rightly that our vocations are given to us by God. Even the most grand and glorious of those as king still are under the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And unless one serves faithfully, that is according to the word of the Lord, as he's spoken to us, it won't go well for us. And we're going to see that play out for Solomon, Saul, in the coming week or so, right? As we hear it spin out in a very negative way, all right? All the while, the Lord is going to raise up a king, you know, after his own heart, and that will be David, okay? And so be faithful in your vocation. Submit where the Lord gives you to submit. Love where the Lord has given you to love, and do it all according to the word of the Lord, all right? God be with you all, and we'll see you again tomorrow. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.